Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that the words of that song would be true, that we would believe them, that regardless of what comes into our lives, we can depend on you to never forsake us. And so, Father, now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our King and our Redeemer, through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Have a seat. Hear the word of the Lord. As for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. You know that those who taught you and you know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete. Series that we're calling rhythms, where we're examining our practices and the disciplines of the spiritual life and how they affect our health and spiritual health. Not unlike the disciplines and the practices we do of our physical life, ongoing practices like sleeping and eating and exercising and recreating, things that are meant to help our physical life. Now, let me say this. More important, can I say this? More important than the messages on Sunday are what we do between Sundays. If you're listening to this online, more important to this message that you're listening is really what we're doing between Sunday to Sunday. Every one of you should have, or if you don't, in front of you, if you weren't, haven't been here before, you have this guide. They're in the seats in front of you, or you can get a PDF if you're watching on live stream. Every one of these rhythms have then practices, have rhythms that, in a sense, assignments that you're supposed to be doing this week and then next week. They're meant to keep us going. They're meant to give us what we learn on Sunday to practice it throughout the week. It's like if you're taking guitar lessons. You go to a guitar lesson and you learn how to do the C chord and the G chord. And okay, now you got to go home and practice it. Or if you take exercise classes or yoga or whatever it is, and you're stretching and you're learning different exercises, and then you should go home and practice it. If you go home from your exercise class and just sit on the couch all week long or eat Pop-Tarts or whatever you do, that's not going to do any good. Same with this. This entire series, we're going to talk about the spiritual rhythms to make Christian life healthy. And yet, what we do Monday through Saturday is absolutely vital. And so this past week, last week, we talked about the rhythm of prayer. And the assignment was, there's on page, I think, 4 and 5 or 3 and 4, are 21 prayers of Christ-likeness that you were to choose one. Encourage the rhythm of starting every day, briefly, start it with that prayer. Me, it's, Lord, I start every day, Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation. That's my prayer. And I end that day as well. That's my rhythm. I end the day, Lord, return to me the joy of my salvation. It's interesting as I make that choice, how other choices throughout the day then filter into that. So am I going to look at that? Am I going to do that? Am I going to say that? Return to me the joy of my salvation. And then I encouraged right in the middle of the day to take just a few minutes and using the Lord's Prayer as your model, sit down and pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then to use it in a sense as a model so you can pray other things as well right in the middle of the day. How are you doing with that? Today we're going to add the next rhythm. And the next rhythm is that of scripture reading. And so that's why throughout the service, you kept hearing different forms of scripture, because I want to remind ourselves that scripture is vital to our spiritual health. The Lord wants to adjust the intake of our thoughts, of our perceptions that are constantly flooding our mind. In a word, the Lord wants to renew our mind. He wants our mind renewed. I was talking with a friend recently about the complexity of the human mind. We were talking about everything from children and their ability to learn to our ability to multitask, and our mind can sort of do all of those things. And then we even got talking about dementia and the amazing thing of the human mind, like my aunt who died of dementia could forget 3 minutes ago of what she said, but she could go from English to Spanish to German to Italian just like that even in her dementia. The mind is an amazing thing. And yet, I've been driving people would say, ew, you drive a Volkswagen? Yeah, and I know the mechanic really well because I'm there all the time. And now, all of a sudden, Volkswagens are still Volkswagens. Now I drive a Volkswagen. People say, oh, you drive a Volkswagen. It's just a Volkswagen. But the car I drive, for some odd reason, requires high-octane gas. It's more expensive. It drives you crazy, but it requires high-octane gas. During COVID time, partly because I'm cheap and wanted to save some money, and partly because leaving the church going to my home, there's this locally owned marathon station right there on the street. And I wanted to give local people business. So I started filling up my car at the marathon station. They didn't have high test. They didn't even have mid-range. They just had regular. And so I even asked a car friend of mine, can I give regular gas to my car? Sure, no problem. So I did. And for the first several fill-ups, it was fine. And then all of a sudden, I noticed it started pinging some. And then it started pinging a little bit more. And then here comes the check engine light. Pfft. Oh, man. So I thought, let me try. And I started putting the high octane in again. All gone. Sue and I were watching television the other day. And there was a commercial for dog food. This dog food included blueberries and other antioxidants, the leanest of meats, and your choice of lamb or salmon. Whoa! I said, I don't even get fed that well, which you shouldn't say with your wife sitting next to you when she just had your meal. I'm sort of convinced that we can be so picky or so careful about what we put in our cars and what we feed our pets. And yet the stuff we feed, most of us would have the check engine light on in our brains. Just because of the things we do to it, the things we put in it. Whether it's the brain drain of TV and entertainment, or whether it's the addiction to social media stuff, or whether it's the ongoing listening to talk radio, whether it's sports or political nonsense, all of the stuff that we put in our brains, or the computer games that we play on our phones, and then throw in a crazy conspiracy theory or two, and it's no wonder our brains are in worse shape than the cars. The car engines we're not taking care of. It is God's desire that we renew our minds. Let me put it this way. Here would be my thesis of the morning. The way I nourish my mind determines how I live my life and ultimately the person that I become. Sit in that just for a minute. The way I nourish my mind, like high-octane gas, like dog food with blueberries, the way I nourish my mind determines how I live my life and ultimately determines the kind of person I become. That's the renewing of the mind that the Lord wants. The quality of my mind depends on the quality of my thinking, of my thoughts. So here's the question. What's informing your thinking? Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul would write, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Now, let me say, just as I used to say, stop learning, you'll stop living. I used to tell the seminary students I used to teach, read widely, read often. Read widely. Don't just read what you like and what agrees with you. Read widely, read often. This is what's stretching your mind. A friend of mine was just saying he picked up the book 1984 by Orwell because he keeps hearing about Orwellian stuff. I said, great, read Orwell. We should all be reading the classic books, Christian or otherwise. We should all be listening to stuff to stretch our minds. We should all be listening to podcasts. If you want to know some good podcasts, Pastor Ty's got a whole list of them. Be listening to podcasts. We need to stretch our minds. And yet I would say there is a difference between stretching our mind and renewing our mind. The finest source for the finest thoughts, the filter, as it were, the governor, can I say that, of all the other things that we read, ought to be your Bible, ought to be the scriptures. A key component to spiritual formation, an essential element to Christ-likeness, is a reading and an understanding of the scriptures. It is the Bible. Last week we had the simple instruction, one little simple instruction, start praying. Have you? Start praying. This week the instruction is just as simple. Read the Bible. If your brain is foggy, read your Bible. If your heart is heavy, if your morals are weird, if your soul is tired, if your conscience is guilty, if your mind is confused, chasing of your tail, hear God's voice. You'll hear God's voice. You'll meet God's Son. You'll find true north. Read the Bible. It's not a magic book. You don't rub this thing. You read it. You hear it. And you follow it. Let me do a couple things now. I want to give you four, I'll do this really quickly, four reasons you ought to read your Bible. Okay? Here's the first one. Because it's inspired. All scripture is inspired by God. It's what I read to start the service. The word inspired literally means God breathed it out. It's a God breathing it out. It's inspired by God. Now, the beauty of the Bible is it is the person of God together with the person and context and personalities of human authors and those two things coming together and you have the scriptures. It wasn't dictated. It's the context and the circumstance of the person that's writing it. That's why Moses sounds different than Paul, who sounds different than John, who sounds different than Isaiah. It's their personalities and their contexts, but it's God breathing out his word. Why should you read the Bible? Because it is inspired. It is God's message to us. Why should you read the Bible? Because it's inspiring. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. It's inspiring. Why should you read the Bible? It's going to guide your life. It's going to give you life. I remember as a young college student, that's when I first met Christ. My first semester there, I was walking to algebra class, Whitehall, Kent State, and there was a person there handing out this Bible. And I remember a couple of months later, God had a plan, and that was part of the plan. A couple of months later, when I actually embraced Christ as my Savior, I found myself sitting on my couch. My roommate was in his room. I didn't want him to know I was reading my Bible because he'd think I was weird. Because that's not things that we, John and I did, remember? And it was nice because it was so small that as soon as he came in, I could hide it. But I remember opening it up and I remember reading. And I remember my soul just coming alive. I remember just hearing those words, words of grace, words of forgiveness, words of sin, words of God that changed my life. It was inspiring. It inspires hope. It inspires comfort. It inspires faith. Every time you and I do a funeral, we stand up with a Bible to people that are tremendously in grief. And we just tell them what God says about life, about eternal life, about hope. Don't have to say much, because God's word is inspiring to the one who's even grieving the most. Four reasons to read your Bible. It's inspired. It's inspiring. Thirdly, it tells the story. It tells the story. In some ways, when you look at the Bible and it's 66 books and what is this? And does it have any consistent message? And I'm here to say, yes, it does. And if you want to know, also in the seat back in front of you, we have these every now and then. If you want one, take it. In many ways, it's just called the story. And it summarizes the message of the scriptures. And it summarizes them in just those four areas. What is the story of the Bible? The story is creation. God made everything you see, and he made it wonderfully and beautifully, and he meant it to reflect him so that we could say, wow, God's great. Well, shortly after the creation, everything was messed up. Man chose to rebel against God, and so consequences of the fall as description of the fall and its consequences. But then also what the Bible is the rescue, and it's a rescue plan. And so in the Old Testament, you even have the formation of the nation of Israel. This is a nation called by God, first of all, to represent what living for God should look like, and they failed miserably. But this is also a nation that was going to be the birthplace of the one who was going to be the rescue. And so all of Scripture points to that rescue, which we will celebrate on Good Friday and then on Easter Sunday. That's the rescue. And then finally, the Bible is about restoration, that God is restoring everything. Everything that is broken, he will ultimately restore one day. And that's the assignment of Christ followers today and the church, to be, in a sense, the emblems of that restoration, that our lives, our marriages, our conversations should be representations of God has restored this fallen person. Which is why it bums me out so much when the church and Christians sound so much like the world around them. There's no evidence at all of restoration. Come on. The scriptures are what remind us of that. Why read the Bible? Because it's inspired, because it's inspiring, because it tells the story, the overarching story, the story, the grand theme of all of life. And then the fourth reason, because it tells Christ's story. Jesus would say, you pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me. It's about Christ's story. Christ is the hero of the story. Christ is the restorer of the story. Anywhere you look in the scriptures, it's not that it's magical, but anywhere you look in the scriptures, there will be an echo or a shadow of the coming of Christ or of the work of Christ. And so much of the New Testament is written to churches. All of the letters of the New Testament, it tells the story of Christ. Why should your grand theme inspired? Because it's inspiring, because it's the story. It's the grand theme of all of life, and because it's Christ's story as well. Now, in this rhythm series, I want to help us develop all the different kinds of rhythms that are in your booklet there. And today I want to help you develop the rhythm of reading your Bible. I want you to remember that picture. That's a drip. Now, you might just remember it saying, Paul, you're a drip, okay? Or if you think of the scriptures as drips of water to a parched soul. That's what the Bible is. And so often we try to quench the thirst of our soul with so much other mind-numbing, error-filled stuff. And again, don't hear me say, just read the Bible and turn off the rest of input to your brain. Absolutely not. Stop learning, stop living. Read widely, read often, all of that. But the scriptures are going to be your filter. The scriptures are going to be your reference point. And drip, I want you to remember drip, and here's why. Here's my instructions for your rhythm of reading. D is daily. I want you to make a commitment to daily read your Bible. And if you are already, great. If you're not, start with 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. And you know, you'll do what's important to you. If Family Feud's important to you, you're going to watch it 3 hours tonight, right? You'll do what's important to you. And I'm urging you, give me a season. Make this important to you. If exercise is important to you, you're going to go work out. If practicing the piano is important to you, you're going to practice. And at first, like any practice, man, I can't read my Bible. I know. Practice it. Give me 15 minutes. 15 minutes to read your Bible. Choose the time of day that's best for you. You'll need a Bible if you're going to read it. I don't have one. All right, that's not a good excuse. I've lined up Trinity's Bibles on the ledge of the sound booth back there. If you don't have a Bible, take one. Just take one. Don't have to sign it out. It's yours. But I'm stealing at church. I know. We'll get you later. No, just take it. Take your Bible. That's yours. Put your name in it. Or you know what else you can do? I've left my phone in my chair. Download the Bible app. Just go to your, if you have a smartphone, just go to your applications, download the Bible app. And your Bible will be right in there. Choose a good translation. I normally have been teaching from the Christian Standard Bible. I really like the translation, partly because it's new to me. I got tired of the ESV teaching it. It's a great translation. I taught the NIV for a while, way back in, you know, during the Lincoln administration. I taught the New American Standard Bible. We have so many good translations in English. Don't let that stop you. Choose one. Christian Standard, NIV, ESV. You can choose it even on your Bible app. Start reading your Bible. Then pick a book. Okay, look at this thing. Let me give you your assignment. Then we're going to move on. You see where we are, week 3 of Scriptures? Here's your assignment. A week of Ephesians. Ephesians is a book of your New Testament, about midway through. The reason I chose Ephesians, not only because it's a great book, there's 6 chapters. Today's Sunday. You get today off. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 1 chapter of Ephesians each day of the week. Now, if you don't want to do that, I didn't write this down. If you want to just go right to Jesus, I love that. Go get the Gospel of Mark, chapter of Mark, every day. Would you do that? Requirement. Every day. So Ephesians or Mark, that's your minimum daily requirement. Now, if you want to go further like we do throughout this series, here's what I want you to do next. This one will be really cool. Take Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is like War and Peace. It's really long. Psalm 119 is divided up according to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And you can't see it in English. You can see it in the Hebrew Bible. So that the first section, I forget how many verses is it, is Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first letter of the first word of each line all begin with the letter Aleph. It would be like if they all began with the letter A. Then the next section is Beit. And so they're all according to the letter B and then C and then D. And so here's your assignment. Each day, Psalm 119, take one section for the first day. And as you do one section, the reason I chose Psalm 119, it's all about the scriptures. Every section talks about how beautiful God's word is. And here's what I want you to do. As you read that section, I want you to ask 3 questions. Ask the following. What do these verses say about God? What do these verses say about the word of God? And what do these verses say about my responsibility with the word of God? 3 questions each time. Okay, can you do that? 15 minutes, start. Go get a cup of coffee. Sit down. Choose your best time of day. Get your Bible app or your Bible, the one you stole, and just start reading. Can you do it? Should I do a journal? If you want. But then just start reading. And if you have it in your Bible app, part of the reason it's cool if it's in your phone, now you're in line, you know, the socially distant line at Heinen's, where you're in Willoughby and the store is in Mentor? Well, instead of playing games on your phone or read your Bible while you're in line. It's right there in front of you. Okay, R is read. Excuse me, yeah. D is daily, R is read. Read carefully, read thoughtfully. Don't speed read. Don't go on autopilot. Actually read it. Let me give you two sides of the same coin when you think of reading. Both begin with the letter S. One is study, the other is soak. When you study, you're delving deeply. You got a pen in hand, and you're chasing things down, and you're looking for deep meaning and trying to understand. Soak is you're slowing way down. You might even be reading it out loud. Study is, I got the Psalm 23 in my hand, and I'm reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And I'm studying it, and I'm cross-referencing it. Oh, look, Jesus said he was the good shepherd, and I'm finding out all of these things. And so I even get to the end, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I think about what that means, and I do some cross-references, and I realize I'm going to be there for the length of days that he's talking about, just being in this place for a long time. And so that's study. Soak is, the Lord is my shepherd. 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 And for 15 minutes, I can let that phrase soak my soul. Both are worthwhile. Both are vital. Let me quickly give you three books that I would recommend. One book is a book called Living by the Book. Howard Hendricks and his son Bill Hendricks wrote it. It's funny, I've never read this book. Sue loves this book. And the reason I recommend it is all of you that are part of the Women's Discipleship, you know this book because that's required reading. The Study My Bible. So much of the way I study my Bible comes right from this guy. I use phrases I don't even know are his phrases, and I read them, I thought, oh, that's where I got that. The whole idea, I thought it was true to me. Last week I said, the goal of Bible study is not information, it's transformation. I thought I was a genius. He said it. Living by the Book. This is a really good book. You ought to get it if you want to really learn how to study your Bible well. One of the books he had us read, however, tiny, tiny little book called The Joy of Discovery by Oletta Wald. I think that's 30 pages long, but it's also a really good book. I said there's two sides of the same coin, study and soak. Study. Soak. Eugene Peterson, again, one of my favorite authors. He's actually wrote, have you ever read the paraphrase called The Message? That's Peterson. Brilliant, brilliant man. He wrote a book called Eat This Book, A Conversation in the Art of Spiritual Reading. I was going to read you a portion of this, but I won't because I'm looking at the time. This is a really good book to have as well. Okay, so there we go. Drip, daily, read. The third one is imply. What are the implications of what I'm reading? Again, to quote Paul, or Howie, who's quoting Paul. No, the other way around. The goal of Bible study is not information. It's not to get all of this data and to know exactly when the... No, it's transformation. It's life change. And so the opening passage I read from 2 Timothy... All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for those things, so that the person of God would be equipped to do every good work. Jesus' half-brother James would say, do not be merely hearers of the word and deceive yourself. Leave here on a Sunday. Fine. A good worship service. So that sermon was really lousy. That's fine. Don't just be hearers of it. You got to be doers. And so what are the implications? what is the application of what I read to my life? I was at the workout place last week. One thing I don't skimp on, just so you know, is deodorant. You shouldn't. I buy an expensive deodorant. I'll tell you, I buy Armani. But it works really well. Okay? I'm at the workout place, and I'm working. And even though, because of social distancing, only so many people can be there. So it's not very crowded. And I'm working out. I'm doing the elliptical for a while, like I normally do. Then I'm on the bicycle, and then I start doing the weights. And I realize somewhere in the weights place, somebody's got really bad BO. And I'm looking around trying to accuse. Could be that guy. Maybe that lady, you know? And then all of a sudden I did one of these. It was me. I have the most expensive deodorant in the world, but I didn't apply it. And man, did I stink. We have the richest words in the world in the scriptures. If we don't apply them, we're going to stink. When you read the Bible, ask the implications. What does this say to me? What am I supposed to believe? What am I supposed to do? Let me give you the P. The P is pray. Bible's not a textbook just to get data. The Bible's not just some magical book that you rub and you find some sequins. And so you can read the way you read it, but it's also a divine book because it was inspired by God. And so as you read it, talk to the author. Say, I don't get this. You know where he answers more often? Not so much in interpretation. He answers in application. How does this speak to me? Boy, it will. Remember drip. Remember the assignment now. 15 minutes, maybe Ephesians, or if you want to do Gospel of Mark, 15 minutes a day. Drip daily. Read. What does it imply for me? And pray. I'm done. I'm going to end with a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Just on the beauty of the scriptures. The word of scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long. Rest in that for a moment. Just like the words of someone you love. Moms, do you, or dads, do you write notes? Well, your kids don't go to school now. Well, when they go to the kitchen for lunch, do you write notes on their napkins? That you do, they cherish them, I guarantee it. The words of scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long, just like the words of someone you love. Accept the word of scripture, ponder it in your heart. So the 15 minutes a day you're reading it, it's in your heart all day long, all day long. Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you. As the worship team was praying before the service, someone who asked the question about how many people in the world have been through the Bible. Who knows? But that's not the point. The point is, that's the point. And then I'm going to dismiss us. I'll tell you what, let's stand to just so I don't try to do something else. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your word. You've not left us guessing to the grand story, to the purpose of your son, even to your standard of life. You've not left us guessing. Lord, I pray for some today, maybe for the first time, they'll open the book and they'll just start reading a little bit of it. And like the greatest of foods, they'll think, this is awesome. Lord, I pray that a habit would be started and ultimately a character would be developed because it started. Father, I pray that we would not only read your word, but as James says, that we would do it and help us start now. Lord, we thank you that your goal in our lives is Christ-likeness. And we thank you for the rhythms and the disciplines that you've provided that we can, in a sense, even cooperate toward that means. And so we do want to be a people of prayer. And now we want to be a people of Scripture as well. And now we pray that you would bless our lives as we always do. May the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you his peace through Christ, now and forevermore. Amen. We'll see you. Have a great week. Read your Bible.